And amid the chaos of our time, sometimes we wonder, is God really in control? Yes, He is. Everything is right on schedule. God's time clock is different from ours. Sometimes we think, Lord, what are you doing? Our need is this, this, and this. Would you please? We want it now, but in His time, all things come to pass. He knows. I've entitled my sermon today, Why the Magi? And ever since the people have been talking at this particular season of the year about the Christmas story, the Magi have been mentioned, and for years and years and years, this beautiful mural in the back here has pictured these travelers from the east coming to Bethlehem. And so we're going to explore today who these Magi were, why did they come, what is the significance of their visit, and maybe get a little something that we never got before out of the story. Chapter 2 of Matthew. If you have your Bible and you want to follow along, do so. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. We read the story of the wise men every Christmas, but it really is not a Christmas story at all. Actually, it's after the fact. It's a couple of years later. Jesus is a couple of years old, a baby. Jesus is a toddler when the Magi arrive, and Joseph and Mary now have a house in Bethlehem, and they seem in no hurry to leave at this particular point of time. Who are these Magi? Well, they are the descendants or inheritors of the school of astrologers and philosophers that Daniel belonged to in Babylon. Some people think they came from Yemen, but if you really think east, you know they probably came from Babylon, from Persia, from that area of the world. When Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael were carried away into Babylon as young men, they trained to be magi. This is what they were training to be. Now, magi comes from the people of the Medes. The Medes, or that particular sect, the Medes and the Persians, the Medes were the magi. The magi were a part of them. And they were trained to be magi. They went to Babylon University of Astrology and Soothsaying. I don't know if that's the name of it or not, but let's put a title on it. They went to school, and they had to undergo training. These three, four individuals were of the nobility of Judah. They were of the king's family, related to the royal family, and they were the creme de la creme that King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to take the best out of all the nations that he conquered and school them in the arts of the Chaldeans, the Magi, the wise men, the soothsayers, the astrologers, and he put them all together, and he said, now you're going to eat this from the king's table, and thus and thus. And you remember that these four young men decided that they were going to stand up for their beliefs and not eat of the king's dainties and eat just vegetables. And they had a test, and they turned out to be the best of the best of all these people that were brought in there. Now, when by the time Daniel was an old man, he was the headmaster of the whole bunch. Yes, he was. And he got there because he was very wise. And he was given dreams, and he was given visions, and he understood a lot of things about the future. And one of the things that God revealed to Daniel was his 2300-day prophecy and the 70 weeks. And he gave him a way of calculating when exactly the Messiah was going to arrive on earth. The exact time was predicted. Daniel wrote it down. Now, Daniel didn't understand a lot of what he wrote, and he asked for understanding, and Gabriel came and told him a lot of things, but he said, a lot of this is not going to be known until the end. It's going to be sealed, and don't worry about it. It's all going to come to pass when the time is right. So, Daniel, first of all, had to get into the position where he could control the astronomers and the wise men and the magi. And so there had to be a culling out, because there were a lot of, soothsayers, sorcerers in their midst. And magi is actually where we get the word magic and magicians from, which has come to mean almost the same as the soothsayers and all these kinds of tricksters. Daniel had the real thing. He had the real God. He had the real truth. And when he would pray three times a day, he also had other people that were in the Magi group who were jealous of him. They were jealous of his position, and they wanted to get rid of him. But in reality, it was God's way of getting rid of them, because if you remember the story, Daniel passed the lion's den test and come out living, and the other ones were thrown in. The ones that wanted to do away with him were done away with. And so then Daniel had to pick their replacements. He handpicked their replacements. And so at the time when the wise men, the magi, came to Bethlehem, they had known about and read about and studied the scriptures, and they knew that something was going to happen at the particular time that they were living. And when the star appeared, they saw this unusual star in the heavens. It was not there before. They had studied the stars. They had checked their charts of the heavens, and this was a new one. And you remember on the night that Jesus was born, there was suddenly in the fields where the shepherds were, a multitude of the heavenly host, and the sky lit up, and it just about frightened those poor shepherds to death. And the angel said, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, for unto you in this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." I believe, and I have reason to believe, that this special star was none other than a multitude of angels leading and guiding and directing these astronomers to their appointment in Bethlehem. Why did they go to Bethlehem? Yes, they were curious. Yes, they wanted to meet and see the promised Messiah. They knew it was somewhere in that area because the star led them there. So they went directly to Jerusalem. And of course, there must have been quite a group of them, because it said that all Jerusalem was troubled. It really caused quite a stir. And Herod greeted them and asked them why they were here. And he says, "We have come to worship the new king." That, where was he supposed to be born? And Herod wasn't happy about this. He was upset because he wanted to be king and he didn't want any other king and any other rival for his throne. In fact, he was so wicked that he even killed some of his sons because he didn't want them to inherit his throne. It was not a good thing to be part of Herod's family at that time. But he did not want any rivals, and so he was upset. And he said, well, where is this child to be born? He got the scribes and the ones that studied the scriptures, and they said, go to Bethlehem. It's in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus says the prophet. And so the Magi, the wise men, said, well, let's go, we'll do it. And Herod said, well, when you find him, come back and tell me where he is so I can worship him too. Well, it wasn't to be. Herod was not going to get to meet Jesus. He never met him. His son did, but he didn't get to meet him. And God used these wise men for a reason, and the reason was to fulfill the prophecy. And that prophecy was, I have called my son out of Egypt. The wise men came to get Jesus out of Bethlehem. It wasn't going to be safe for Jesus to be in Bethlehem. He had to leave. And so, the gifts that they brought, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, had significance because the gold financed their trip and their stay in Egypt, because they did not know how long they would have to stay there. And the frankincense, believe it or not, stands for worship and prayer. You know, in the service in the temple, the incense that was offered up to heaven was the prayers. It was to go along with prayer. The sweet-smelling incense of our prayers, even today, goes up, and Jesus hears our prayers and offers our prayers to God. He is our intercessor. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So the incense was important, and the myrrh. They used myrrh when they embalmed bodies. They used it so that he wouldn't stink. It was a sweet-smelling ointment that they put on the dead bodies. So there was more than enough significance to these gifts, but the main purpose of the wise men was to get him out of Bethlehem. Because Herod, now they didn't know this, but they had to be warned in a dream, you see. Herod had every intention of killing him. And when he was aware that the wise men were not coming back, he sent his soldiers and he slaughtered all the little toddlers and the babies up to age 2 in the town of Bethlehem. Now that was not very nice, to say the least. But Jesus escaped. Jesus was on the time to die at a certain time. He was not to die as a baby. And God does everything on time, and His scriptures, His predictions, His prophecies are precise. And until He is ready, and until the time was right, Jesus was not to die. And how many other times was Jesus? They attempted to kill Him at other times, and they couldn't kill Him. He read the scriptures in the synagogue at Nazareth, and they wanted to take him and throw him over a cliff. And Jesus turned around and walked through the midst of them. He was untouchable until God's fulfilled time. There were many times, but the day came in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus said, let these go and take me. And then he could be taken. And they took him and led him away to crucify him. And he told those that wanted to try him and those that put judgment on him, so you would have no power against me, except that it was given to you by my Father which is in heaven. And he also said, no man taketh my life from me. Of myself I lay it down, and of myself I take it up again. God does things right on time. And these magi came right on time. In the fullness of time, he was revealed. The wise men had people looking frantically for him. But God protected him. The Messiah had arrived. The king was born. Some got to see him. Precious few saw him as he was, the king of the Jews, the promised Messiah. But until John the Baptist came, they saw him only as Joseph and Mary's son. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The wise men saw him. They knew him. They honored him. They worshipped him and presented him gifts of much significance. They saw the future of Jesus. And they also saw, consequently, because they studied under Daniel and Daniel's prophecies and the Bible and all that they saw in the Scriptures, they saw the salvation of all mankind in the face of that little toddler that they visited in Bethlehem so long ago. They received a revelation of the prophecies of Daniel when they met the infant Jesus. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, I want to continue reading this a little bit, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star. There's that star again. The star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. That star. There's that clump of angels leading them on. What a glorious sight that must have been. And how startling that must have been on that first night when those shepherds saw those angels in that multitude just lighting up the evening sky. You know, they went all around telling everybody about it too, but not very many really knew what to make of such a thing. And it says even Mary, the one who had the baby, had to ponder a lot of these things in her heart and wonder what all this meant. The visit of the shepherds, the visits of the wise men, all these things. She wondered and she pondered and she put them away and stored them away for another day to understand later. Sometimes things happen in our lives and we don't understand. But we tuck it away because, you know what? We'll understand it later by and by. Won't we? There's a lot in this life. I'm looking forward to Jesus coming again. And you know, the same precision that the wise men, they could count on the Scriptures to get them to Bethlehem right on time. According to that, we know that if it happened to them, it will happen to us. He came once, he's coming again. Jesus is going to come back. And if we study our Scriptures, and we have not only the book of Daniel, we have the book of Revelation, which opens up Daniel. And we understand things that Daniel doesn't even know in his time. And he was a wise man. But we know some special things. Jesus is coming again. And he's bringing gifts to us. Now, he was brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But he's bringing us eternal life. Immortality. We shall die. If he lingers, we shall die. But one day, Jesus is coming back and he's going to bring his reward with him. He's going to have a shout and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be quickly changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we shall be caught up to meet them in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord, and we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He has given us great gifts. The wise men saw this, and they would never have known had Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael gone to Babylon so long ago and instructed them in the right way? God's people, no matter whether they're few like those four boys or few like us, we have a message to the world. Christ the Lord is risen and He's coming back. Thank the Lord for Christmas. Thank the Lord for Him coming the first time. But we have a special message, and that is He's coming back. He's coming quickly. I don't say soon. I say He's coming quickly. We knew not the time nor the hour, but at such a time as you think of not, the Son of Man comes. He's coming soon, and wise men still seek Him. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we pray that You will make us aware of Your soon coming. Make us aware of Your divine presence in the now, that You are always with us, that You never leave us nor forsake us, that You ever live to make intercession for us, that You are attending to everything we say and do, that You are watching over us as a tender shepherd, that You do not let a hair of our head fall to the ground, but that You have the number of it. You are so close to us that if we really understood that, it would frighten us, I think. Oh, Father, touch us. Help us to understand how close heaven is to us and how soon Your appearing is. We thank You for the gift that You have given us of Your Son. We thank You for dying for us so that we might live forever. We thank You, Lord, for eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank You, Lord, and we are so blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.